Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hope that was your chair.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and all-powerful Mr. E.
I'm Jay Clone 57.
The reason I'm all-powerful right now is because I had a fisherman's friend.
Fisherman's friend is...
Man, I hope that you guys can hear me chewing on it because I'm trying to get rid of it.
It's the only thing more powerful than the all-powerful Mr. E.
Man, this is like chewing on gasoline. Mm. But we're not... Jeez, this is bad. We're not alone. Where'd the voice go?
Huh? I have not used it yet.
Oh, sorry. We're not alone today. We're joined by two amazing people with an amazing show and an amazing art studio. So I'm going to kick it over to Jay.
That's
normally your cue.
Oh, okay.
When I say I'm going to kick it over to Jay and I stop talking for that second.
We're joined by a fellow podcast. I need another fisherman's
Clear your throat race. Right into the mic.
Sorry. Trying to get it out. Maybe I can't do the voice. We're joined by a fellow podcast. Nevermore Hollows. Chris and Alan, and Chris was part of Black Sheep Studios as well. And we met him at CryptoCon 2 years ago.
I think 2 or maybe even 3 years ago at this point. I don't know. It's all melting together.
It's hard to keep up. But welcome to the show, you guys.
Welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Excellent.
So you know why we make Jay do the intros? Because they're always bad.
Yeah.
No, but you guys have an amazing show. I've listened to it. You know, everybody at home knows I don't get the chance to listen to many podcasts anymore. Doing a podcast, we have an episode come out every day of the work week, so it's just like at this point, I listen to our show a lot.
Do you?
Unfortunately,
oh, you have to. Yeah, I hate listening to our show sometimes.
Oh yeah,
my voice.
But no, you guys got a great show, and Chris does amazing artwork. So yeah, if you would, whichever way you want to do this, it doesn't matter to us. But you know, let's pick one and talk about it, and then we'll talk about the other.
All right. Well, great to be on the show, man. I appreciate it. You know, I've been diving deep into y'all's episodes, and you guys are a hoot, man. I'm telling you. And Chris was telling me, man, you got to reach out to him. It'd be a good fit because, you know, with what Nevermore Hollows is doing and what Cryptids of the Corn talk about, it'd be a great cross-pollinization. So I appreciate the opportunity to be on here. But Nevermore Hollows is a podcast of it's about a creepy little town, and it's inhabited by all kinds of cryptids and monsters and ghosts and you name it. Now the spin is that whatever cryptid or whatever monster we talk about, you know, in the story, it's going to be unlike any version you've ever heard. I don't want to tell just another vampire story or just another Bigfoot story. I want it to be so unique that hopefully that you'll go, wow, that was different. And so it's set in this little small town. You've got all these returning characters, and some crazy stuff is happening. Oh, yeah. And so that's what it's about in general. So Chris, you always describe it as
like if Mayberry and the Twilight Zone had a baby.
No,
yeah. I love it. That's a T-shirt.
It is this tiny little town in Georgia that you on the outside you would really want to live there because it just looks like the perfect place, and then just underneath the surface there is all kinds of craziness going on. Monsters, aliens,
demons,
alligators falling from the sky. But it's got, some nice shops and some nice restaurants and some really good people who are trying to keep the evil at bay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically the story of, of those characters having to stand up and fight evil, on any given night and how they, or day, crazy stuff happens in the day as well. But one of the central locations in the universe, it's kind of like the Nevermore Hollows universe, kind of like the MCU. We call it the NHU.
Yeah.
But there's a Waffle House on the edge of town where all the crazy stuff happens. The craziest of the craziest stuff happens. So if you ever listen to the stories about Waffle House, that's when all the crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, Winona's Waffle Hut.
Winona's Waffle Hut.
It's like the central hub for all bad things.
I was going to say.
It's reflects reality.
So the very first story was a Waffle Hut story.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's when a demon-possessed monkey walks in with a clown on a leash. So there you go.
Wait, I'm say it again. A demon-possessed.
So like, hey, can you draw a demon-possessed capuchin monkey? And I went, yeah, it sounds like a challenge. Let's go.
But the clown's on the leash?
Yeah. This demon-possessed monkey, his name is Psycho Juju, okay? So whenever he shows up, he's always got a clown, and he always kills the clown at the end of the story. Always. It's his thing. He just kills the clown.
Just his
thing.
So
obviously, there's some tongue-in-cheek dark humor in these stories as well.
I think they're funny. I think they're great. The Psycho Juju Monkey.
Yeah.
The demon-possessed monkey pulling a clown around on a leash. That sounds like a typical Saturday night for you.
For me, yeah.
Which one are you, the monkey or the clown?
Hopefully anybody that's listening and they like scary stories, already out of the gate, they're thinking, well, it's going to be different. Let's give it a shot.
Everything has happened. A lot of the cool stuff. We got Psycho Juju shows up at the Waffle Hut. The Tooth Fairy shows up at the Waffle Hut.
And it's not your normal Tooth Fairy. This is not a little thing with wings. This looks like a homeless guy. He's got a bag of teeth that he carries around.
And a pair of bloody pliers.
So the funny thing, guys, is I do sound effects as well. I make the monster noises. I have sound effects. So I was trying to figure out what would a bag of teeth sound like.
Oh, no.
So I went through the house. I had a Ziploc baggie, and I was putting all different kinds of things in it, and I would shake it in front of the microphone and I'd listen to it. And I was like, man, nothing sounds good. So I found some poker chips, and that was as close as I got. True story here. I was talking to a friend of mine, okay, and I don't know why I didn't think of this. She goes, how did you come up with the sound of teeth in a bag? And I went, it was poker chips. She goes, I've got a bag full of teeth. Because she's a dentist.
Okay.
See, that's crucial information.
I never thought to reach out to her.
No, I was like, I was thinking maybe horse teeth. I'm like, I got a whole bunch of horse teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Psycho.
I put them in your pockets.
Oh, okay.
You never found a horse tooth in your pocket?
Like, no.
Oh, how'd this get here?
That was a toenail.
Yeah. It's a horse dude. No, that's awesome. And it's fun. It's a great show. And I was telling Alan, audio quality's great and all that. I love it. It's really a lot of fun. I listened to the Gargoyle episode most recently, which I won't spoil nothing for nobody, but it was really good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. The cat is a heavy influence.
Nah.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, curiosity killed the cat, but for a while I was a suspect.
What?
Yeah, Stephen Wright. That was Stephen Wright.
Holy moly.
Yeah, look, he was awesome, man. Oh, man, he was awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. He said one of my favorite jokes with Stephen Wright is when he said he couldn't find his car keys or something. He said, so he called information back and she goes, did you check behind the couch?
Just
out of nowhere. It's just it's crazy.
Now, is there a Tudor's Biscuit World there too?
Say what?
Is there a Tudor's Biscuit World there too?
No, but we we could put a Tudor's Biscuit World in there. Well, because they got, all the little shops, I try to always give the little shops just little names. You know, like, you know, hey, they went for coffee, it's Misfits, know, coffee. Or Dante Inferno's Pizzeria. And then Chris comes to me and he goes, dude, we could sell that stuff.
Oh yeah.
We
could
sell logos, we could sell menus.
Was it Happy Kaiju?
Yeah.
And I have our pharmacist, my pharmacist here in town is Japanese. So I had to go to him for the translation, and he goes, why? Just trust me. It's for a job. Just trust me. He goes, okay. Yeah. And, but Lost Souls Tattoos.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool story too.
Yeah. That's a good story.
So there's a tattoo parlor that my paranormal detective, his office is above this tattoo parlor, right? So I'm driving down the road one night in this little town called Niota, Tennessee. Literally, no lie, it's one red light, okay? So I'm driving through town, and I went, man, I need a really cool name for this tattoo parlor. And as I'm driving by, it's dark, I see a red neon glow, and I look over, and and there's a tattoo parlor. It says Lost Souls Tattoo Parlor and Piercings. And I said,
that guy.
Right. And I said, that's it. So I start writing all these stories referencing Lost Souls Tattoo Parlor. So he goes to a con.
Yeah, a horror convention. Yeah.
So you tell the story.
We go to a horror convention, and they did not expect that many people to show up at the con. So there wasn't enough parking. So we were parking all over the place. And my car got towed, and this guy's car got towed. And we're trying to figure out, because the towing company is like 30 miles away and they only take cash. And
so this is some random dude you met.
Just some random guy and his wife. And he goes, I got that on me. He said, can you pay me back? And I'm like, yeah. So, and they had to have, the car's in my wife's name. So him and my wife rode with a buddy of his to get this. And I sat there and I was talking to his wife, and she's like, so what do you do? And da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, well, I'm part of a podcast, and we've got all these, you know, and she's, they're all tatted up and awesome, beautiful tattoos. And she's like, well, that's the name. And I told him the name of the tattoo parlor.
Lost Souls Tattoo Parlor.
And she goes, that's the name of our tattoo parlor. I went, okay. And then I told Alan the story, and he goes, oh, that's where, and it, Niota, if you blink, You'll miss out as you go through.
Yeah, but the cool thing is, what are the odds that I would see that, name that tattoo parlor in the story, and then randomly you meet the owner?
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then I've worked with people who are like, oh, I got a tattoo from that guy.
Yeah.
So you know, it's things are all connected. The cool thing about Alan's writing in Nevermore Hollows is he gives you one. He's got a good talent for naming characters. Two, he gives you just enough description of what this character looks like. And when I first found out he had a podcast, I started listening, and it was just like, I can see these characters in my head. The thing about me, I can't draw anything really unless I see it in my head first.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these characters, there's descriptions, and then he leaves the rest of your imagination as far as what, you know, and of what they do and how they act. And it's very cool to listen to, and I'm not biased at all. it's fun, and there's a lot of intertwining of stories and characters. So there's a good base, and then there's some really good one shots. So yeah, it's fun.
And so now, and to turn it to your art, I met Chris 30 years ago, right?
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those situations where we would lose touch for a couple of years and we would meet and it's like, we're brothers, right? Yeah. We'd lose touch for a couple of years. So he calls me January a year ago and he goes, hey man, let's go get some tacos. So yeah. we go to the taco place, right? And he goes, you've got a podcast. And I went, yeah. And he goes, I started listening to it. I'm like, okay. And he goes, and he pulls out all these character sketches that he had done on all the characters. And he goes, I want to be part of this. Yeah, and man. I was like, well, heck, you're in, dude. So you know,
we would see each other at the grocery store. And he's like, hey, I got a podcast. You want to listen to it? I'm like, yeah, you know. And it was just like random stuff. But, you know, and so I'm slowly building a good description of everything and the people in the town. One of our wants is we would love to do a menu from Winona's Waffle House. where I want to do a Disney-esque map of the town.
Yeah.
To map out all the places. So people kind of get an idea of where they're going because there's Legosi Swamp.
Savine
Dunwich
Road.
Forest.
Yeah.
What Lovecraft Park?
Yeah, Lovecraft Park.
You know,
where the squid thing in the middle of the park.
Yeah, the fountain in the middle is an odd looking squid with too many arms.
Yeah.
you know, so and it's fun to visit. You know, I don't think anybody would really want to live there, but it's a nice place to visit. You go to in your head. You kind of forget how things are going in your world and you can sit there and play around in theirs knowing that you can leave and they can't.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
But how it works well with your art is you're already a cryptid artist. So much of your art was cryptid related.
Yeah. I love
so
doing monsters.
It was a perfect fit. So Black Sheep Studios with your art style, you know, if you love cryptids and if you love, like, especially a lot of the, you know, men of our age, you know, the old school cartoons, yeah. You know, Scooby-Doo
mostly,
and things like that.
I call myself a nostalgia artist. I do a lot of, cartoonist. Artists hang in museums. I hang in people's bathrooms. So I have graduated to the kitchen for some people, but it's like 70s cartoons that I grew up on. Old B movies that I watch all the time. My wife and my children have learned that when Dad picks the movie, it's probably going to be something old and black and white with a rubber monster in it. Cryptids, because I mean nobody can really say that's not what they look like,
right?
You know,
right.
I call myself Black Sheep Studios. My brother is a pastor. And so I hang out with awesome people at comic book shops and conventions. So yeah, I am the Black Sheep family. it's a fun world to live in. I enjoy doing conventions. I enjoy seeing people and talking to people.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is encouraging little kids when they, you know, come up and, you know, they're like, I draw. And I'm like, well, do you got your stuff? And oddly enough, these kids will whip out their phone. You know, I'm expecting a sketch pad. They'll whip out their phone. Here's a picture. Yeah, and it's fun for me because when I was younger, I had some cool artists do that for me at conventions and give me a little bit of encouragement. So, you know, and then also just the interesting people that you meet at conventions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting is a good word.
Yeah, that covers a lot.
Yeah, good, bad, and different. It's interesting,
especially at cryptid conventions.
Oh my gosh, interesting. Yeah.
doing comic conventions, cryptid con is like a breath of fresh air. That's usually our last convention of the year, and it's like a you know palate cleanser because you know. They're just different. It's a different type of person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of quirky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my wife was a reporter for a very long time, and she's got that reporter's mind that you have to, you know, I would have to get Bigfoot, bring him in the house and set him down in front of her for her to believe that he exists. But going to these cryptid conventions, she actually has become a believer because just seeing all these people coming in saying, yeah, you know, I saw this, yeah. I've got pictures, I've got this. And so it's kind of nice. My daughter is a believer. My son is a complete and total skeptic. He traveled to Scotland this past year. And I said, well, all the old man wants is something from that's got the Loch Ness monster on it. And he goes, well, where would I find that? Well, in Scotland.
Right. You will find something.
You know, and so he said, well, how can I see anything that doesn't exist? You know, so pick your battles. So I had to, I just kind of walked away. But he actually, they got to do a tour of Loch Ness, and I was hoping that this thing would just pop up out of the water.
Yeah, and just
Look
him
in the face.
Just look him in the eye.
Give him a wink.
Mm-hmm. Wink.
Yeah, you Dude. Know. But
doing a backflip back into a well.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, was that a public episode?
Yeah, I think so.
I couldn't remember. Yeah, it's from Mel's Hole. I don't know if you ever heard of Mel's Hole.
Yep. Yeah, that's a weird place, man.
Yeah,
I would. That's just an odd story.
You know, it's on Google Earth, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. A bunch of listeners started sending me that screenshots, like where it is.
Of Mel's Hole.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm like, oh, that's not the real one. The government took the real one.
Probably.
They're using it to dispose of toxic waste. Mm-hmm. Keep throwing it in the hole for the tumor seals.
Yeah.
They like it. Right. No, that's awesome.
Or they can dispose of the people that know about Mel's Hole.
Yeah. And they
end up in the hole.
Yep.
Do you have any? When do you guys start doing cons again? And Alan, are you going to do any this year?
Yeah, we've got Chattacon coming up. Last year was my first time doing cons. I did two or three last year, a couple with you. And so we're lining up some right now. And, you know, Chris keeps telling me that it would still be a good fit at Crypticon.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so looking at that. So, like I say, we're still lining those up. Got a couple already.
What state are you guys in?
We're in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay.
We're actually about 10 miles up the road from Chattanooga.
Cleveland, beautiful Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yeah.
The crossroads of the world.
Better than Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, just about everything is except Gary, Indiana.
or Detroit, depending on where you're at.
Oh, yeah, true that.
You guys should come to Encounter Quest.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Cool. Yeah, that's going to be a really fun one. We're emceeing that one.
Mm-hmm.
You excited? You ready?
Oh, do I look ready?
Yeah.
Then
woke up late.
Then I am.
Didn't bring me coffee.
Oh.
90% of the time you bring me coffee.
Well, this is that 1%.
I know. I'm mad at you. No, it's awesome. And so where did kind of the ideas of forming this place come from?
So growing up, I had a number of paranormal experiences. Okay. And even as a younger man, I had my first cryptid interaction was when I was maybe 22 on a dark stretch of road in Alabama. I worked in Birmingham, Alabama, and on the weekends I'd drive back home to Chattanooga. So I'd drive at night. So it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm on this back road, hadn't seen anything in a while. I'm just booking down. And something runs out of the field, you know, it was just an open field, runs out of the field in front of my truck. It was about the size of a Great Dane, hairless, but looked more like a greyhound. You know, it was big, and it ran right in front of the truck, you know, and just kind of stopped real quick and shot a look back over at me. And I mean, I was flying and, you know, so I caught just enough of it in the headlights and off to the side. And I was like, what did I just witness? You know? And so those paranormal experiences growing up, you know, combined with that, and I've always been a lover of horror stories. I just thought, all right, so let's make up this little town and just fill it with all this kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, you're not getting away that easy. I got to talk about this dog now.
Yeah.
I try to sneak that stuff past in interviews too, but no. What? So size of a Great Dane, so big, very large.
Oh yeah, it was huge.
Did you say color?
It was pale. I mean, it was almost like corpse pale. Like, you know, and I know this. It sounds crazy, but
you know what we do for a living? It does not sound crazy.
Yeah,
we've had
maybe that was a rake or something.
I was going to say its back was slightly arched.
Yeah,
and
boom. What was that? Sorry about that.
Ominous that music because of an ominous beast.
See, we do sound effects over here too.
Yeah, real time. Old school. That scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, you too. I never made that noise before.
The spring on the mic stand caught something and it like bling. But I don't know. I thought something was coming through the wall. No, it's we just did episodes on the pale crawlers.
Yeah.
And a lot of the pale crawlers seem to be almost mid transformation into something else. Huh. And that's kind of made me think maybe that's because that's what a lot how many of the pale crawler stories we have.
Kind of right in front of the car.
Yeah, right or running out of the car or
That's weird.
And the skinwalkers you went to base.
Yeah.
Oh dude, they're creepy, man.
Wow. Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't stop. You probably wouldn't have your organs anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was scary enough that I wasn't, and I was by myself anyway. I would have been foolish to stop and look at that.
It happens.
You're on a back road in Alabama, that's so right. You don't stop for anything.
It happens. These things lure you out of the car. The guy that was peeing was probably the scariest one.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Man.
He pulled over and he was in Georgia, right?
Yeah, that was peeing. I can't remember.
He was in Georgia. Maybe it was Alabama. He was down south and like this back road, and he's had to pee real bad. And so he pulls over and he's peeing on the side of the road. And he assumes it's a deer. And he keeps hearing it on the other side of the road coming towards him. And he's like, all right, you know, so he gets back in the car. He gets a panic feeling, gets back in the car, turns on the headlight, and this thing is halfway crawling like a spider over the road, coming to right where he was standing. And then it just backs up in reverse and waits for him to leave, like it was stalking him. Don't pee on the side of the road. You will get got.
Yeah, that's a big nope, Bob.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, that's what it sounds like with what you guys are describing. That's very similar to what I saw.
And I think that your town probably does exist in real life. I think that we talk like Crystal Cove and, you know, all this stuff from cartoons and movies and entertainment and media, and there's just like Gravity Falls is another one.
Yeah,
there's just these little towns. I'm trying to think of one we've talked about. I mean, the Bridgewater Triangle, you know, the Uinta Basin, the whole state of Utah sucks apparently.
Yeah,
we had a bunch of emails about that. Like, yeah, it's bad. Don't go out to Utah; you will die, I guess, unless you stay at Salt Lake City. But then they have giant manta rays that eat people.
Yeah, you got to pick your battles.
And salt dragons.
Salt dragons.
pick your battles. No, that's awesome. So you had some other paranormal encounters, it sounds like, too. So you got to share at least another one.
All right.
And then I'm coming for Chris.
This one actually happened in Cleveland back before. I know you guys are not in on this. This is inside baseball. Back when Tasso Road was still country.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I got you.
So I was my first car was a 1970 Volkswagen Beetle, right? So one night I'm tooling on this back road, headed. I was living in Athens at that time.
Okay.
Athens, Tennessee. So I'm tooling along, and I come around this curve, and I see a light off in a field, just cows. Just this farm, right? So I come around, I see this glowing light, and I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, right? So I come around, and this shiny ball of light, it's about the size, I don't know, maybe of a tire.
Okay.
You know, but it was a sphere, and it was sitting out in the middle of this field. You know, there were cows roaming around, and it just shoots straight up into the sky.
Wow.
Now, I've always, you know, my mind always went UFO, but recently I listened to one of y'all's episodes where y'all were talking about, you know, the orbs could be some sort of manifestation related to Bigfoot.
Yeah, so, because they, you know, they're seeing orbs.
Yeah.
They're seeing, you know, different colors. I've heard blue, I've heard orange, I've heard white.
Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even pulsating colors and all kinds of stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, this was bright. I mean, it was just white.
Yeah.
It wasn't pulsing or anything. It just shot straight up into the air.
My dad saw something like that.
Yeah.
And my dad is like skeptic you know, he didn't believe in any of this stuff.
And, you know, you can't, you know, this back in when this happened, this was like 89. So, you know, it shows my age. But, you know, back in 19, we didn't have drones back then. So it wasn't somebody out in the field messing around with a drone.
Did you exist in 89? Yeah.
Not yet.
Neither did I.
I might have been in a twinkle in my dad's eye.
My dad was still in high school.
I think
my dad's not.
But
he saw it on the other end of town.
Yeah. It was something. Because I remember when I tried, I've always been the they call me the whack job of the family. I'm the conspiracy nut. Because I'm open to these things, right?
Yeah.
So I think if you're open to these types of experiences, you see them.
Yep.
Right?
To that thought, if I may, like, I think it's kind of two-sided. I think it is probably partially that. I think the other part is that we don't explain them away. I think a lot more people have encounters with all kinds of paranormal, and they just ignore it. It's not that it's not happening for everybody. It's just that if you're not in that mindset and you do not want it to be, it will not. Like, you're just like, you see where are lights in the sky? All right, that has to be a drone. And just move on.
Yeah.
Not double looking. You happen to maybe see a Bigfoot, you know, on the highway at night, and you're like, that was a bear. Oh, I see him as a bear. Yeah. I'm going to tell everybody it was a bear.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it could be both, though, that I do think the phenomena as a whole does more frequently present itself to people that are open to it. But I also think more people are experiencing the phenomena and wanting to explain it away to whether religious or personal reasons or. What's your thoughts, Jay?
I don't know why. It just made me think of the time that my dad and I were driving.
Oh, the bear?
With the bear, when he thought he ran over a bear. And then I thought we ran over a guy on a bicycle.
Doesn't that sound? He didn't explain the story.
The bear on
they killed a guy.
We were driving down in the middle of the night up in Canada. And like you say, you drive in the middle of the night and it's so dark out. He actually turned off the headlights and it was pitch black. You couldn't even see the road. Just for a second to see how dark it was. And the road was an empty road. There's trees on both sides. There was no moon out at night. So, you know, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And we're both driving. And I just seized up because I thought a guy came out of the woods on a bicycle. And right before we hit him, he went flat to the road and went 2D and stretched out over the road. And we ran right over him. And I tensed up because I thought we were going to hit him, and my dad's driving, and he goes, what are you doing? What's wrong? And, like, again, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was like, I don't know, but I swear we just ran over a guy on a bike. And he goes, oh, well, about 10 minutes ago, I thought I ran over a bear, so I think we better pull over.
I think it's time to take a nap.
Now I'm wondering, like, we both agreed we were hallucinating. That's why we needed to pull over, but I'm wondering if there was more to it now. Like, if it was the woods playing tricks on you.
Oh, the fae.
Yeah.
That forest elementals.
Because I know I saw, like, I can remember seeing it still, but it was weird. Yeah. I mean, I swear we ran over it because I was like bracing for impact and whoop, 2D right over it.
Yeah. So putting yourself in that, you know, how he just described it, that would be terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I would have just floored it and just kept going.
Right.
I'm not going to get out in the middle of the check on somebody.
No, I think they just hit a guy and they were covering up their tracks.
Yeah. What would a guy? Here's the other thing that would just blows my mind. What I was thinking too, in the middle of nowhere like these woods, what's a guy on a bicycle doing?
There's a lot of Amish in Canada.
Yeah, in the middle of the woods, just shoots out right in front of our car.
What's that famous cult leader? The big smelly guy. That's how he's known by. But he was a Canadian cult leader, and he made them all ride bikes.
Really? Mm-hmm. What? Shoot.
And if he had a hankering for chips, he would probably make you ride into town, whether it was 2:30 in the morning or not.
Well, this wasn't in town at all. middle of nowhere.
I mean, he's making this guy ride 40 miles into town.
Yeah, you gotta go straight through the woods.
I want Funyuns for breakfast. Move.
That's how green onion. Yeah, take the shortcut. Go through the woods. Yeah,
smack. The shortcut. These two drunks from Ohio smack a guy on a bike in the middle of Canada.
Yeah, just keep driving.
I'm gonna question your dad about this.
Do it, please.
He'll be like, yeah, I had to tell Jay it was the shadow we hallucinated because we killed that guy.
Yeah.
He was too young. I didn't want to scar him.
I was scarred. Still am scarred.
Your dad murdered somebody on a bike?
No, I don't think so. He had too guilty of a conscience.
Interesting. How about you, Chris? You're up to bat.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, let's see. When I was, 19? One of the first jobs I had, I worked at a television station, a local TV station in Cahutta, Georgia, and I worked midnights. And so I was coming home, and we have here in our town, it's on the Georgia line, is Red Clay State Park, where the Trail of Tears started.
Yep.
Mm.
And so I was going through there, it's about 6 in the morning, had the windows down to keep me awake because I've been up all night long. And through the mist, it was early summer. Through the mist, there was a Native American standing in the park area. He was on a horse. So he was on the horse's back. And we both saw each other, and he raised his hand and waved at me. And I waved back. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, because there's nobody camping.
Yeah.
And then I looked back and he was gone. So, I made it home in record time.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? That's the second time this in like a week we've had a residual type haunting actually interact with a person.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
We're doing the show.
Well, you know, there's a, you know, the Cherokee, believed a lot in blue holes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there is a blue hole there.
Yeah.
So, and you know, a lot of stuff happened there. So I was like, you know, and again, I'm like, well, okay, but I'm not going back. Right. That's not the way I'm going home anymore.
Because there are no Native Americans still in this area.
Not really. No.
Maybe if you get up into North Carolina.
Yeah.
But, and they wouldn't have been dressed like that early in the
morning. You know, and that's the whole thing. That was before they recently started having powwows there and stuff like that. But this was in, again, like 88, 89. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know what that is, but I'm not going back.
And the Trail of Tears was horrific. So I could definitely see why there'd be some visage still left.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that was the origin. That was the starting point. And then on that same stretch of road, I've seen a UFO definition, unidentified flying object. It was, I'm kind of an airplane buff, and I saw something in the sky that was not, the color of the lights were not what an airplane would use.
Right, your red light.
This was like a purplish color.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it was stationary, you know, I could, this thing was staying right outside my passenger window. And I was on a date with a young lady and I was taking her home, and we both saw it. And about that time my headlights went out. The moon was full, and I knew the road, and buddy, I did some awesome country driving, but I got her home.
So where was this?
This was on Blue Springs Road, almost directly.
Okay, so about the same era, a friend of mine and I, we were on...
This is like 80s.
Yeah, yeah. We were on a back road more towards Watts Bar Dam, and we were just driving along, and we were talking about spooky stuff like this, and the headlight... I was driving, so it was... The headlights go out. And he was like, dude, stop. And I went, no, that wasn't me. So we got out, got our flashlights out. We're trying to figure out, you know, how to, and then just, they just popped back on. And then we got the heck out of Dodge.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was driving a 1978 Ford Fairmont Futura that was banana yellow with a bored out 308 engine in it. And I pushed that little car to the limit. Got home. My dad noticed that I was white as a sheet. Yeah. He's like, what happened to you? So I told him, he goes, we're going to take the car to our mechanic buddy tomorrow.
Yeah.
There wasn't a thing wrong with
it. Right, yeah. No, yeah, we never had another problem again other than that road.
Not too long after that is when he saw the line. Because he didn't believe me.
Yeah.
And then he came to me. My dad worked for the local electric company, and he had to work on a Saturday, and it was early one morning. And later that night, he came. He's like, you know what light you said you saw? I said, yeah. He goes, I saw one. And I'm like, what? And that's all he said. And he hadn't talked about it since.
Whoa.
You know, because apparently it just shot up out of the trees when he was pulling up out of the road.
And your dad's a no-nonsense guy.
My dad.
Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
He ain't got time to fool around, man. No.
And, but what got me started on the cryptid stuff was Legend of Boggy Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Scared me to death. I watched it when I was like 10 years old. Terrified me. And I have my copy. I found it at a local store for like $5. Scared my children with it, which is that's what fathers are supposed
right.
to do.
That's right.
And then and it's hokey, it's goofy, but there's something about that movie that just gives you the creeps.
Yeah.
And recently, my daughter showed it to a bunch of her friends. My daughter was in a band in college, and this is like all the drum line, and they're all hanging out at her apartment, and she has them watch this movie, and they're all panning it, and they think it's goofy and stupid. And then comes time to go home, and it's like 1 or 2 in the morning, and one of them goes, you mind going out on your balcony and watching us get in the car?
Yeah.
So here these guys are like, it freaked them out. And and then I've recently done some artwork about it because I just love that movie.
Ultra classic.
Oh yeah. Seen ghosts. When I was a child, I saw The Old Hag. I can see that in my mind right now.
Was she on you?
High school?
Huh?
I'm sorry. Was she on you? Like when you seen her or what?
No, she was at the foot of my bed.
Okay.
And I was like 6. Yeah. And I can still see what she looks like. And as soon as I started screaming, was it sleep paralysis? I don't know. But it just carved itself into my skull.
Well, we've got a Boo Hag story in Memory Hollows, I just finished another one.
It's gonna
be in the new season.
Yeah,
the
Boo Hag
breaking news.
Freaky thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we tell some Boo Hag stories in Nevermore Hollows.
But where we live locally, we have, like any small town, we have our own ghost story of a little girl that the story is about the mausoleum, and it's in a book called, 13 Tennessee Ghosts.
Yeah.
But
I remember that.
She died at 9. And her parents were very, very wealthy. And this was in the 1800s. So her dad had a white Italian marble shipped over. And they made this mausoleum out of that. And then they interred her in the mausoleum. And then as soon as they interred her, there were sections of the of the marble that started turning red.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had them yanked out and replaced, and the stain came back. So mm-hmm. it's blood stains on the mausoleum.
Yeah.
And supposedly you have to get permission from the church, and they won't give it. If you walk around her mausoleum 7 times in silence, the door opens up and she invites you in to play.
don't take that offer.
No.
You play. The Falk, Arkansas story, or the Beast Bug Creek story, made me think of a video I was watching a couple nights ago where this big brother, his like sister was having a sleepover, and they brought a Ouija board. And he kept telling them not to play with it. And they went upstairs and they started playing with it. And he goes down to the breaker box, but he has his girlfriend's phone sitting on their windowsill so he can hear when they're asking it questions. And they go, "Are you here?" He turns it off once and turns it on. They all go, "Oh." And then he just starts slamming it back and forth. They all start screaming, running downstairs. And he's just slamming the breaker on and off. The whole house is just turning on and off.
They're going nuts.
Mm-hmm. They're like 12-year-old girls. Absolutely. But the Beast of Boggy Creek is a lot, you know, is a start for a lot of people in this community.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been down to Falk?
No, it's on my list, man.
It's amazing.
I want to go there. I want to go to the Monster Mart. I want to, you know, just say that I'm there.
And Bigfoot Barbecue's right next door. It's like a town of like 250 people. I used to go a couple times a year to the area for fishing. And it's an awesome community, awesome place. Lyle lives like an hour and a half away, something like that. Lyle, you can correct me if you ever listen to this.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of Lyle's stuff. I like
Lyle's a good guy. Now, we're at the 45-minute mark. I still have the surprise to do.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh, the surprise. Ooh. Yeah.
But first, again, tell everybody where they can find your stuff, and I'll have all the links below. Everybody at home, really check out these guys. Check all of it out. Buy some art. Listen to the podcast. It's all great.
Oh, well, you can see me Instagram, Black Sheep Studios TN. And then Black Sheep Studios TN on Facebook.
Yeah. And with Nevermore Hollows, Instagram, we're on all the podcast platforms, you know, Apple, Spotify, all that. And then there's a YouTube channel that we just launched, started trying to grow that. So it's all Nevermore Hollows.
Etsy store.
Yeah. There's, you know, we've got merchandise even.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's a Nevermore Hollows Etsy store, which, you know, we're getting ready to do something a little different. But Chris's art is on some of the merchandise.
Yep.
And, we're on Instagram too. Nevermore Hollows, you know, Twitter, all that. It's all the same Nevermore Hollows.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. You ready for the game?
Game.
We're gonna play a game.
That's the surprise.
We're gonna do Whose Line Is It Anyway style. Since these guys do an acting style podcast, story driven podcast. And yes, I don't know. When me and Alan first were talking, the Whose Line Is It Anyway style game.
Okay.
But I'm gonna run the first round. And I think
Am I Colin Mockery?
Huh?
Am I Colin Mockery?
I don't know any of their names.
Oh, the bald one.
Aren't they all bald?
No. He's the one that gets made fun of for being bald.
The black guy?
He's brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
He's
brilliant.
They're all brilliant.
Yeah, they're all brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, I think they're funny. But...
Yeah. Go on. Never mind.
All right. Now, I need a subject, Jay. So where will you guys be? What will be the action you guys are doing? Like, be trying to get cash out of the bank, or, you know, give me an idea.
Oh, I'm the crowd you're calling upon?
Oh, you're also going to be an actor in it.
Oh,
but okay. I have your roles.
Oh, gosh. Okay. We're all three of us.
I'm sitting this first one out.
Right. So yes. Us three.
Yes.
I don't know. You said ATM or we're robbing a bank.
Okay. So Chris will be the bank teller. You and Alan will be robbing the bank.
Okay.
Except the catch is you're all cryptids.
Okay.
Chris will be the frog man. Alan will be Bigfoot, and you'll be the Snallygaster. So you have to stay in character.
Repeat it because we timed out for a second.
Chris Frogman, Alan Bigfoot, and Jay the Snallygaster.
All right, I already got the voice. I'm already ready.
Yeah, remember, they don't speak English.
They don't speak English.
No.
This might get.
And go. Come on.
Who's starting?
You're starting. You're the head bank robber. Go.
Okay. Wait. Okay. I'm with the frogman.
No, you're with Bigfoot Allen.
Oh, I thought he was the teller.
Chris is the teller.
Oh, I got this all screwed up. All right.
I knew this was gonna be great.
So we're in the car outside of the bank, you know, first.
Okay.
All right, Bigfoot. Okay, we gotta get in there. There's a frogman behind the counter. You gotta distract him, okay? Right. This is what we plan now. It's 2 months of planning. Don't let it go down the drain. All right, let's get inside. All right, everyone in here. I need y'all laid on the ground, and I'm gonna talk over this frogman here. Get some money.
Yeah.
Ribbit.
I wouldn't move, lady. I told you to lay down. He means business.
Ribbit.
That's right. All in the bag. No, Bigfoot, leave him alone.
Come on. You gotta finish the scene.
No, but all in the bag. I said put it in the bag there, Frogman. I mean, we got about 15 seconds before the cops show up. Bigfoot, I said no.
All right.
All right, let me jump on your back and let's go. Let's go. No, screw the car.
And scene. Oh gosh. You don't want to do another one of those, do you?
I didn't know I was going to be the only one.
I said they don't speak English.
Oh, well. Yeah, you can't.
Chris and Alan heard the rule.
You can't drive the story without someone speaking English.
I thought that was the best ever. I just was saying, I thought it would be funny if you guys were just making animal noises for a couple minutes, but that was funny.
Well, we didn't shoot nobody.
Improv at the insane asylum. Or
yeah, I think so.
So Alan knew what I was going to do. You guys didn't.
No, I obviously.
No, so.
The voice was amazing, though, yes, Jay. Yeah. I loved it.
I don't know where that came from.
It was like when I tried to do Bill Gates. That's where that comes from.
Yes, because they're so similar.
Well, you know, you just got to, you know, just take the medicine up and right in the kid's arms. Just,
oh. That's what he said. That's a quote.
Chris and Alan, thank you guys for coming on. Thank you for all the fun we've had this hour. It's been a ball. Everybody at home, check out all of their work, all their stuff. Buy some merch, get some art. Come see these guys at conferences, listen to the show, have some fun. It's a lot of fun. You got any comments?
No, I'm just picturing us now. You guys are jumping on a Bigfoot's back and like, just,
yeah. All right. So we like to end it a certain way here. We're all going to count down from three, scream bye into the microphones, and the outro will play. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Crippins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!